Okay, we're in our next lesson, lesson number 6. And we now enter chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 were the Apostle Paul's personal messages, personal greetings, and he's been talking to them about personal things. Well, now, chapters 4, 5 are going to talk about practical things. And that's the introduction. After giving his personal messages to the church of Thessalonica, Paul then begins to challenge them with practical instructions. That's how a lot of the books of the Bible are. The first few chapters are sometimes doctrinal, sometimes personal. And in the last few chapters, get practical. I think that's important. I think it's in that order for a reason. All right? Because first you lay the groundwork, right? First you lay the groundwork. You say, all right, here's the doctrinal framework. Here's the personal framework. And then after that, then you can tell people how to live. You got to start with the doctrinal foundation, though. You see, people have to know why they ought to live the right way. People ought to know why they do what they do. It shouldn't just be do this, do that. It should be, this is why you need to live for God. And these are the doctrines of the Bible. And so Paul starts with personal messages, and then the first blank is then he gives them practical instructions. So chapters 4 and 5 are going to be practical. He begins, where does Paul start? He begins with the key area of life concerning moral purity. That's an important area of life. We live in a culture that is extremely and flauntingly so morally impure. We live in an ever-increasing immoral society. All moral restraints have been thrown out the window. People do what they want to do when they want to do it, regardless of what happens. And it is every week somebody new is popping on the front cover of the newspaper of some kind of sexual immorality. Every week somebody new. And it's often these people that you never would have guessed. And it's just every week somebody new. We live in a very immoral society. So today's lesson is lust versus love. Both are mentioned in this chapter. Lust versus love. And we're going to start with lust, because that's what Paul starts with. Number one, lust that thinks only of self. See, lust only thinks of self. Doesn't think of others. Doesn't think of how this is going to impact others. Doesn't think about how this is going to impact their family. They don't think at that time about how this is going to impact the people that look up to them. They're only thinking of themselves when they give into lust. And Paul's going to talk about this. Now, first in verse 1, Paul starts off in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you. So he's talking about how he encouraged them and challenged them. Now, how did he challenge them? Did he come and tell them, you need to do this because I said so? No. Look at what it says in verse 1. He says, we exhort you by the Lord Jesus. You see? He exhorted and challenged people, letter A, Paul based his appeals on the authority of the Lord Jesus. Paul did not walk around telling people to do such and such just because he said so. He could have if he wanted to. I mean, he was an apostle of the Lord and he used that authority. But he said, I exhort you by the Lord Jesus. He used Jesus' name when he exhorted people. He said, do this because this is what the Lord wants you to do. That's the best way to challenge people. Don't tell people to do things just because you say so. Because then it's your word versus theirs. And who's to say, right? Who's right? They'll say, well, you're no better than me. And this and that. Use the Lord Jesus' words. Say, this is what God says. So always base your appeals on the authority of the word. That's letter B. Using God's word in your appeals will give the authority you need. You need authority in your home. You need authority in your workplace. You need authority wherever you are. Use God's word. God's word gives authority. Stand behind this book and all of a sudden you got a lot of authority. But if you just walk around saying, well, do such and such because I said so, And that might work for a little while, but eventually that might wear down. Eventually, those under your authority might want to fight against that. But when you base it on God's Word, you base your authority on the Bible, say, you know, even in your home, you know, yes, parents have the 100% right to say, do this because I said so. Absolutely. But even beyond that, you could tell your children, hey, obey me because God's Word says children obey your parents in the Lord. So you not only have your own authority, but you got God's authority behind that. So use God's Word as an authority. So you need to do this because not just because I say so, and that ought to be enough, right? When you're especially dealing with children. It ought to be enough just because mom or dad says no. But not only is mom or dad saying this, but this is also God saying this, you could tell your children. So you got God's Word to use as your authority. Use the Bible as your authority. Say, hey, I'm not making this stuff up. You know, because sometimes kids think that moms and dads just make all these rules up just for the fun of it. No, moms and dads that are Christians make up their rules because they want their children to do the right thing, and they have the Bible as their guide. See, so use God's Word as your authority. And then it says in the end of verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, I exhort you by the Lord Jesus that, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk. How ye ought to walk. And that's letter C. God cares about how we walk, meaning how we live our daily lives. God cares about how we walk. How you walk every day, your daily walk with God. God cares about that. He doesn't want Sunday morning Christians only. He wants Sunday through Sunday, every day of the week, every day of the week, serving the Lord, walking with Him. That's what the word walk means, every day, how you live, your walk with God. And then he says, how you ought to walk and to please God. To please God. So what is the Christian life, letter D? The Christian life is not a list of do's and don'ts, but a relationship where we are to please God. It's about pleasing God, not, you know, some people limit or look at the Christian life just as regulations. We should take it to the next level. We should view the Christian life as a relationship with the Lord. This fits right in with lust versus love. When you love somebody, you want to please them. That's the simple, simple truth. When you love somebody, you want to please them. Alright? And when you love somebody, you do the things you do, not because you have to, but because you want to. And Paul said in verse 1, how you ought to walk and to please God. And then he says, so ye would abound more and more. That means just continually growing and growing, every day growing. Then we get to verse 2. He says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now, what Paul is saying here is, you already know all this. You know, Paul's saying, you folks know all this that I'm going to tell you. It wasn't anything new, and that's letter E. Paul was just reminding them of what they already knew. He's reminding them of what's really important in life. What's really important? Paul says, walking in the right way, pleasing God, and he's going to talk about a few other things that are very important things. You know, we don't always need to be told something new. Don't always come to church expecting to hear something new. Don't come to church expecting to hear a sermon that, you know, oh, I need to hear something I've never heard before. Don't come to church looking for that. Yeah, sometimes, yeah, there might be those times where something new jumps out at you. And you're like, oh, wow, I never saw that before. And that's great. Oh, wow, I never really remembered that verse being there. And something new jumps out. But a lot of times, it's just simply the need to be reminded. We just need to be reminded of what we already know. Okay? Need to be reminded of the basics. Getting back to the basics. Because sometimes we get caught up in other things that aren't really important things. We need to be brought back to what's really important. Alright? Now, of course, I don't know how many of you are into sports, but this month, I mean, any of you that flip through the channels, you notice Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and today, all you ever see on Channel 2 is what? Basketball. And some of you are like, you know, you're tired of it. I enjoy it. It's called March Madness. It's the month of college basketball. Now, these teams, what does the coach often do when he calls the timeout? He has to remind those players, hey guys, we need to stick with the basics here, because some of them try to get too fancy sometimes and they lose the ball and then the coach chews them out. He reminds them of what they've practiced. He says, hey, remember what we, let's get back to the basics. That's often what those little huddles are all about. And that's the same thing in the Christian life. You know, the Lord is reminding us of what we know, saying, hey, you're getting off track here. You're getting distracted. You're getting too fancy, or you're forgetting the basics. And that's what Paul says. I'm reminding you of what the Lord already told you. I'm reminding you of what you already know. And in verse 3, here it is. For this is the will of God. How many times people say, I just want to know God's will for my life. And that's a good thing to desire. That's a good thing to desire. I just want to know God's will for my life. Some things in the Bible, it's already given. What's God's will for your life? Right here says it. For this is the will of God for you. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. So first of all, letter F simply is God's revealed will for believers is sanctification. That word is found in verse 3. God's will for believers is sanctification. He wants His children to be sanctified. Now what does that mean? Well, that's letter G. Sanctification is to be set apart for divine use. For God's use. To be set apart for divine use. Meaning that you are set aside and reserving yourself for God to use you. That's what sanctification means. And he goes and even in verse number 3 gives one key area which is a requirement for being sanctified. If you're going to be sanctified, here's one major area that is so important. And he says, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. So letter H, purity is important to the Lord. If there ever was an area that God cares about, it's your purity. Moral purity. Your fidelity for those who are married. And your purity for all. For everybody, married and unmarried. But fidelity, purity, these are words that are like viewed as being from the Stone Age in our culture. These are words that have been thrown out the window many years ago. And you talk about these things today with unsaved people and they'll look at you like you have three heads. You're like, what? You really believe that? I mean, what? You don't think it's okay to, you know, like, because again, today, everybody's doing it. You tell somebody that, you know, you shouldn't be living together unless you're married. They're, what? What do you mean? You really believe that? I mean, how are you going to... And they get this whole, they justify it. They get all rational. Well, how are you going to know that you're compatible unless you first live together for a while? How are you going to know your marriage is going to work? That's not God's program. All right? It's not God's program. It's like a trial run in their eyes. They're going to try it out first and see if it works out. Sad thing is most of those marriages that are built upon that, they end up in divorce. Because they didn't build it on God's word. And these are concepts that the world just is like, they is just so far out of their understanding. All right?
No. Sad thing is, it is even Baptist churches in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know.
I mean, it's random, even living.
Right, Emilio. Yes. It's blatant. Yeah. And it's because it's all over the television, and kids are even growing up hearing it, and kids are saying it in the schools because they're repeating what their parents say and what the TV says.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just last week about this so-called psychiatrist was saying you should live with each other for a couple of years.
Right.
If you don't get along, you don't have to get along.
Right, right, right. Yeah, you're right. And this is what they believe, but this is not what God's Word teaches. We're going to look at some verses. All right, so moral purity. He says that you should abstain from fornication. Here's something to realize, letter I. Your body belongs to the Lord, not to you. That's one foundational truth. Your body belongs to the Lord,
amen,
not to you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Your body belongs to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Here it goes. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. And how about if somebody would like to read it? It's verses 18 through 20.
Flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Great, great verses of the Bible here. They're on your handout. Great verses of the Bible. A few things here. Number one, he says fornication is a sin against your own body. Secondly, it's a sin against the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. And thirdly, it's a sin against God, because it says you are not your own, but you're God's, because God bought you and purchased you. He's talking to Christians here. Yes, Maria. Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is when we stand before the Lord, we're not going to be judged for sins, but I believe there'll be a lot of disappointments for not obeying His Word. And the thing is anytime we don't obey His Word, there's going to be consequences, you know? There's going to be bad consequences. So it's so important. Let's look at another verse. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 16. Take a look there. Similar idea. And this is a stern warning here. Let's have somebody read 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Is that 16? 3, 16? 1 Corinthians? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 3, 16.
No.
Tony got it? All right.
3:16.
Yes.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
And verse 17.
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. But the temple of God is holy.
You're the temple. In the Old Testament, you dare not defile the temple.
Amen.
That brought judgment. And Israel was judged for it. Because they began to let the temple just go, and it sin, and this and that. And they ended up in captivity in Babylon for it, and this and that. And you and I were the temple of the Holy Ghost. And for Christians that defile their temple, there are stern consequences. God will judge. Alright? Letter J. Fornication is any unlawful sexual activity. That's it. It's a broad term. Anything that's unlawful in God's eyes. It's one of the broad terms. So whereas adultery is something that only a married person can commit, fornication can be committed by anybody. So it's a big umbrella term. And then letter K, we must be clean if we are to be used by God.
Amen.
If you want to be used by God, you got to first be clean, because God will not use a dirty vessel. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you have a desire to be used by God, you must be clean. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, 2 Timothy 2. If a man therefore purge himself from these, meaning getting rid of the things that shouldn't be there, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, there's our word again. And meet, or prepared for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And then look at verse 22, fits right in. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. See the key words? Being a clean vessel, so that God will use you, sanctified, set apart, fleeing the lusts, running away from them, just like Joseph did. When Potiphar's wife was coming after him, he ran away. He had the right response. It's very interesting, the words of the Bible, because God, every word of the Bible is inspired, right? Every word of the Bible is there because God wants that word there. Some places in the Bible were told to stand. Some places in the Bible were told to stand our ground. Like stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? And stand, having your loins girt about with truth. And stand. And other places in the Bible were told, you know, were told about other responses. Whenever you see this fornication, every time the Bible uses the word flee. You know why? Because nobody can stand against it. Because nobody can stand against it. You have to run away from it. You cannot get this attitude, well, I'm strong, I can handle it. I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. The Bible says, run away. For this type of sin, run away. Don't put yourself in a situation where you could even compromise. This is why there's some practical things that as Christians we ought to adopt in our lives. Practical things that as a Christian you should adopt. Men should not be spending inordinate amounts of time with a woman that's not his wife. A married man has no business going on a 1,000-mile business trip with a woman that's not his wife. Amen. Not wise. And vice versa for the women. A woman has no business, a married woman, even an unmarried woman, really, has no business going on a 1,000-mile business trip with a man that's not her husband. It's just not wise. Amen. She shouldn't be going out to dinner, you know, with a married woman that's no business, you know, doing these things with someone that's not her husband. An unmarried woman, an unmarried man also needs to be very careful about what they do, where they go. These are things the Bible just is very simple, very practical. We have to be wise. We have to flee. Because this is how these things happen. This is how these things happen. Affairs don't happen overnight. It happens because, you know, the guy is, you know, whatever. You know the stories. The man is spending too much time with the secretary or this and that and the other. Before you know it, he's turned into affairs. It would never happen if they were just flee from it and never even begin to entertain it. Brother BJ.
I think the thing is, as Christianity different from any other religion, is that, as you said in the beginning, it's a relationship with God.
Right.
If you don't have a relationship with God, it's very hard to flee from any kind of sin, especially fornication and lust.
Yeah.
And the relationship, if you do have it, then you know, like, for example, your husband and wife, their relationship in the morning when you get up,
mm-hmm.
You know what your husband likes in the coffee,
right?
The sugar and milk.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of scripture, like relationship with God.
Amen.
You know, when you walk the relationship with God, the key word of relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know what God wants, how many
spoons of sugar. Amen. I like that. That's good. That's good. So you know what, the Lord, we need to, that gets back to like we said earlier in letter D, pleasing God, making God happy. And this is one way we make God happy. And that leads us to letter L, perfectly. Believers are to carry themselves in honor. We ought to carry our bodies knowing that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we're God's child, bought by His blood. We ought to carry our bodies in honor, saying, wow, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow, I'm a purchased child of God. What I do to myself matters. And I, you know, God only gives you one vessel. You wreck this one, you don't get another one. You destroy this one, you don't get another one. You get one body, and you got to carry it in honor. So that's letter L, and that's from verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 4. Possess your vessel in honor. Carry yourself in honor. Then verse 5 says, not in the lust of concupiscence, which means just giving into desires, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Like Brother BJ said, those that don't have a relationship with God are going to have a very hard time resisting fornication. And that's the problem with our culture. We have a culture that doesn't know God. And what are the results of not knowing God? Romans chapter 1. You read it. Immorality everywhere. All forms of immorality. Sexual immorality, which leads to the point of perversions and other horrible sins. That's the result of not knowing God. And that's letter M. To give into lust is to live as the unsaved. You're living like an unsaved person if you live in that kind of a lifestyle. You're living like someone that doesn't know God. Those who know God carry themselves in honor. Not only that, not only because you know God, but letter N. God has given us the means to have victory. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have the Bible. So God has given us the ability to win, to have victory. So He will guide us. Don't live like the heathen. The word heathen means one that doesn't know God. Gentiles, heathen, people that don't know God. Don't live like the heathen. Yes?
You know, I read the story of Solomon so many times, and I can't believe that the wisdom that God gave this man,
right,
that he could fall into that trap.
Isn't that amazing? The man Solomon, the wisest king who ever lived, the wisest man that ever lived. What was his weakness? It was this sin. Too many wives. He multiplied wives and concubines beyond imagination.
But how come his wisdom didn't?
Because this is this is the one area that if Satan's going to get somebody, this is it. And this is how Satan brings a man down. That's how Solomon fell. It led him to the point where he not only had many wives, but the Bible says that those wives took away his heart, and he began to build shrines for their gods, just to keep them happy. You see, this is the one sin that can destroy. And that's why it's so dangerous. Now, verses 6 and 7 say that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. See, God will step in. The word defrauding has the idea of stealing. Taking something that's not yours. It's not yours to take. Also, we have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but also unto holiness. So letter O. Fornication isn't just a sin against your own body, it's against others. You're stealing from someone else. Because if that person is not your wife or your husband, it's not yours to take. That's the bottom line. It's not yours to take. If you're not married to that person, it's not yours. Adela, you have your hand up?
Yes, I was thinking, when you're talking about life to anybody, say no.
Amen.
But all my life I've been Christian, you know, when I get myself in trouble, when I have a conversation with the situation, like when you say, you know, the same conversation that determines how it is.
Yes.
You know, when you get into that conversation in your mind,
right,
you're there.
Yeah.
As soon as you start like, well, you know, so bad, you know, like,
right,
what if, you know, like,
not so bad, or you know, yeah.
Rationalize.
Yeah.
As soon as that situation comes, say no.
That's the serpent. That's the serpent.
Because that's our nature.
Yeah.
That is,
right.
You know,
does God really mean this? This and that. We try to redefine some of these words. And absolutely, you're right. And that's a dangerous thing. We can't let this. And that's the world. The world tries to redefine our morals. Don't allow that. Well, is it really so bad? Yeah, it is. Bottom line, it is. Because it's, as the Bible says, it's like stealing. Stealing from something it's not yours to take. So, letter P, God will judge this sin. Hebrews 13:4 says that the marriage bed is undefiled. That's pure and holy in God's eyes. That's a gift that God gave to married people. But the rest of the verse says, after it says the marriage bed is undefiled, the Bible says after that, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Those are strong words. But that's what those folks are when they commit these sins. Whoremongers and adulterers. God will judge them. So, letter P, God will judge this sin. And then verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us His Holy Spirit. People that say, oh, I don't like this rule. You're despising God because God made the rule. And that's letter Q. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. It talks about that in verse number 8. The Holy Spirit is within us. So we ought not to despise these laws that God has given. They're for our own good, for our own protection. Okay? We need not get into details here, but we know the consequences of this sin. Alright? Whether it be disease. Alright? Disease. Whether it be children out of wedlock and all the problems that come with that. I mean, just difficult family situations. We know the results of this sin, but yet people just don't get it. They're just... Yeah, that too. We don't understand. I mean, don't people get it? There are all these consequences or judgment for this sin. God's not going to bless that. So that's why we need to be aware of it. So lust thinks only of self. Number two, in our closing moments, love thinks only of others. Complete opposite. Love that thinks only of others. And that's the next three verses. Love thinks of others. Lust is selfish. Love is giving. Love thinks of others. And that's verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, Paul says, the opposite side, you need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. He says, I want you to even grow in your love. And that's letter A. Unlike lust, love seeks the welfare of another. See, lust steals from others. Lust takes from others. And lust doesn't care about who it hurts or harms. Whereas love seeks the welfare of another. Love seeks how to make the other person better. Love seeks how to make others happy. Love seeks the welfare of another. That's letter B. Lust takes, but love gives. When you truly love someone, you want to give to them. A lot of these folks that say, I'm in love. No, they're not. A lot of these people that say they're in love, they're really in lust. They're not in love with the other person, because all they're thinking about is what they can get from the other person. Love wants to give to the other person. And letter C, love promotes unity in the church. Love promotes unity in the home. Love promotes all these things, whereas lust breaks up a home. Lust will break up a church. Lust will destroy. Lust is a destroyer. Love is a unifier. Total opposites here, lust and love. And then verse 11, he goes on to some other things here that we'll just cover briefly. Good verse, verse 11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now he just talks about some other practical areas, and that's letter D. Living a quiet life is one of restfulness. It means to be less frantic. I think that's a great word. I think that's a great message for today. To be less frantic. It means rest, a life of restfulness. Don't be always worked up and worried. And the word also has the idea of to be undisturbed and settled. Calm. And then letter E, minding your own business is a Christian virtue. Did you know that? Minding your own business is a Christian virtue. To be able to mind your own business. Yeah, because a lot of people have the other gift of minding everyone's business. And then he says to work. Work with your own hands. Letter F, Christians should be willing to work to support themselves. And again, this has the idea of love. When you love others, you're willing to work for them and to help them. Love will cause one to have a quiet life, minding their own business, and working. Quietness. You know, there's a lot of classes that teach people how to talk, but there's not enough classes out there to teach people how to be quiet. We need more classes to teach people to be quiet. One story that J. Vernon McGee says is that a lady went to a tongues meeting once. You know, she wanted to try out this tongues meeting. We're not getting into all that today. And the leader asked her, Madam, would you like to learn to speak in tongues? And she answered him, No, I'd like to lose about 40 feet off the one I already have. You see, sometimes we got to work on speaking less. That's what we need. And then verse 12, lastly for today, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You know, letter G, doing these things will bring favor with man and God. When we do these things, when we live a life of love, and we live a quiet life, and we mind our own business, and we're willing to work, and we do these wonderful things that we ought to do, we'll have a good reputation. And that's what we should desire to have. We'll have a good reputation because you know why? People appreciate those who don't take advantage of them. Did you know that? People appreciate those who don't take advantage of them. And that's what a lot of this is talking about. Juanita? Sure, that went well.
Their response was, just open up another door. When you think you're up, it's more exciting than I think to try and find other people.
Wow.
And as far as I know, you need to try and find your life.
Amen.
You need to try and get
that's good. And that's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The conclusion says, love is the key word of Christianity, while lust is the key word of heathenism. So be careful. Not only is the believer to have a controlled body, but he should also have a heart of love for his brothers in the Lord. So lust versus love, it's a battle, and Christians need to have victory over this, especially in our culture. We need to separate from it. Don't allow it into your home via the television, etc. Don't allow it into your home via the computer, whatever it may be. By God's grace, you determine I'm going to have a pure home and a pure life. Let's close in prayer, and we'll ask Brother Bob if you'd please close us in prayer.